Praise the Lord. Today we want to speak on the subject, the kingdoms of this world. Let us turn our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Revelation and verse 15, and we read what's going to happen to all the kingdoms of this world, America, Russia, England, China, everybody. There is no difference right in this verse here. Somebody find it, read aloud for me.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. That's a grand finale. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet. And you know what this angel is and what this trumpet is? It's not a big horn blowing. It's a message of God. The final message to God's people will come forth, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. At the very outset of this word, I want you to see that the reason why the world is not subjected to God is on account of you and I not having this final power, this final message. If God takes away the world from them, he's got to give it to somebody. And we are not ready. So it is we who are keeping back this thing. And as soon as we get ready, God will give us that final trumpet sound, that final message, whereby the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of God and his Christ. And the Lord God said, we shall reign with him. Now that's what we're going to read about today. Amen. Praise God. We want you to turn your Bibles to Daniel for me. Turn around to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. And we won't read the whole long story, but we'll take from verse 31. Somebody read for me. When Daniel came in and began to explain the vision. Verse 31.
Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image, his head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly, his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands that smote the image upon his feet, and were of iron and clay, to break them to pieces. How far, brother?
Go ahead, brother.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together. It became like the chaff of a summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away. Found for them. The stone that smote the enemy became a great mountain, filled the whole earth.
Now read the interpretation for me.
This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the feet of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. It shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left up, shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces of pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure.
Praise God. Now read for me verse 44 and 45.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Amen. Good. Now, God had put out so clearly in the scriptures the history of the world, that it is so very strange that up to now some people don't know what the history of the world is. But it had been written, and up to this point every detail of that vision of Daniel has come to pass. Amen. Because in Daniel chapter 9, I think, God gave him the vision over again, and then he explained, and the only thing God didn't do was to call the names of the men who were going to be the head of it. For he named the kingdoms right down to the kingdom of Greece, which should be split in four parts, and the four different generals would take over from Alexander the Great, and he named it right down. So let's take a look at 9, and we see the same thing repeated. Amen. Is it 9? It's 7, eh? Let's see, 7. Yes. If we take 7 from verse 7, it is down till verse 22nd. Chapter 7, from 7 to the 22nd. Somebody read again for me.
After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, devoured in broken pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before.
That means different. Yes. Go ahead.
Is that right?
Yes.
And I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there was three of the first horns plucked out by the root. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flames, and his wheels burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him,
yes.
thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set in the book of Romans. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words with the horn, which the horn spoke. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given to him dominion, and glory and kingdom, glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. These great things we saw are four kings that shall rise out of the earth. And the most high shall take the last kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the four beasts which were diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose feet were of iron, and his nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces, and stamped the residues with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, of the others which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said,
Amen.
One more.
Eat.
Thus he said, the four beasts shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth.
Yes.
Shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces.
I want you to note that there's a kingdom that shall devour the whole earth and break it to pieces. Yes. And what else? Yeah. Oh, that's the end of it.
That's the 23. 24.
What 24 says.
And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings.
Yes.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yes.
And think to change the times and the laws.
Yes.
And they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time, and the dividing of time.
Until when? Go slowly. Read that slowly, brother. Until
laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time, and that dividing of
time. And the dividing of time. It's more like until the time, instead of a time. In other words, no matter whether it be the definite article or the indefinite article, it's thinking of a special time and times and the dividing of time. It couldn't be just anyone. It's a special 3.5 years. So God is saying that the saints of the Most High God will be given into the hand of this beast until the last 3.5 years in this dispensation. Amen. So you can understand what, well now, my belief about that is that the last 3.5 years of this dispensation will begin next year. So now that can give you an idea of how stupid I am. You see, all through the years, men have been making the same mistake. They have believed that in 1933, when Hitler came forth, some people were preaching that this is it, he's the beast, and so on. Well, I am stupidly preaching the same thing that I believe by certain revelation. Now, God didn't tell me that. God didn't tell me that next year it's going to begin the 3.5 years. But according to what God tell me, I calculate it, and I believe that the 3.5 years will begin next year, 1974. Now, if I believe that, and if you believe that, you are going to live a certain way that you will be ready, amen, for the push of the beast, the last push of the beast, when God Almighty will also give his children strength to. You see, we have been persecuted from way down yonder, from Jesus left the saints here. They have been killing saints until this moment. Was it you last night, Brother Roy, told me how many saints were killed in China?
No.
Somebody told me so many 100 million saints were killed by the Chinese government. And we know it. And if you notice one scripture, they say when the red horse went north and a brindled horse went east, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, they have almost killed my spirit in the east country. Yes, sir. And that's the condition of China today, that they have crucified some Christians with their heads upside down. We heard of one man that was crucified, and he was left hanging there for a week before he died. And every day they went and pushed something into him, tormented him. See, they crucified some of those brothers in China. We don't hear about it. And they have destroyed methodically every human being who named the name of Christ in China that they could lay hands on. You follow what I mean? This is the place that Watchman Nee came out. Watchman Nee escaped in the last plane that was coming out of China. And nobody but the person, his companion, who he escaped with, told me this. All of them escaped and came out to Hong Kong. And they said they were firing. The communists had been so near that the plane was just barely able to lift off because the communists were running out on the field and pumping shots at them. And they landed in Hong Kong. And he looked back to the land of China. And he said, okay, folks, you can take everything. He said, I'm going back. And he turned back and went back into communist China. They arrested him. They would have killed him, but they wanted him. He was too valuable. He was one of the few men who could translate all the Chinese languages, the different languages they had, Cantonese, Mandarin, and all the other different languages. He could translate English, translate the English writings. And so they had him all these years translating until June last year. He died, you see. So, or is it since this year? Last year, you see, he died. So, I want you to understand, brethren, what we are dealing with here and the kingdoms of this world. You see, what you have noticed in the United States since this year is that the United States is getting closer to Russia and to communist China. Once the United States and Russia joined together, as they have joined together this year, then all the other nations have to come to them, because those two nations can whip the whole world or put the whole world under slavery if they want to. You understand? And this is just what's going to happen. So the rest of the world is going to come together. And then that verse you read, Brother Roy, that they shall devour the whole earth. This kingdom shall devour the whole earth. That verse will come to pass for the first time in the history of the world. Amen. It couldn't come to pass in the Roman time, because the Romans didn't know that there was a United States of America. And there were men running free out here. So no matter how much they ruled the known world, they didn't know the unknown world to rule it. And but now the whole world is known, and the whole world can come under the rulership of the governments that have the power at this time. What we have seen, what's the name of that Russian man? Brezhnev came. And he and Nixon, I have never seen this in official quarters up in that bracket before. The two men were playing like two kids. They played with each other. They joked. They hugged. He kissed him when they were leaving. Brezhnev jumped up and kissed your president. Amen. And it was such fraternity, it was such a oneness, that you better believe it, that the scriptures are indeed coming to pass. Rejoice, O ye heavens, God said. and all them that dwell in them. You, God talk about you, don't get sad, rejoice. For the kingdoms of this world, hallelujah, are about to become the kingdoms of God and His Christ. We can be here 3.5 years more if that's what we have to be here. If it's 7 years and this preacher is wrong, you can be here. If it's 14 years, we can be here, brother. Because we are on the up go and there's nothing now that's going to bring back down the church. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a scripture which said that the deadly wound is healed. I want you to turn to that scripture for me. It's Revelation chapter 13. And we are going to see here where a deadly wound was healed. Hallelujah. Okay, before we go to that, let me just finish, show you the whole of this. I mean, you see it on the board, but I will have to talk it to get it on the tape. So let me talk this, and then we go to the deadly wound. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. When God told him he's the head of gold, he is the Babylon, was the head of gold. Now, his kingdom was deteriorated during the time of his son, and his son went into God's, I want you to notice what made that kingdom fall. His son went into God's temple, and he took out the vessels, and he drank wine with his concubines, had a good time. And God said he desecrated the holy vessels. So God smote him that night. Men smote him, killed him, and they took away the kingdom. So he was silver. That was the silver kingdom. Came in. Now, then from them came the Greeks. And the Greeks under Alexander the Great conquered the whole world. Alexander the Great was one of the most perverted human beings that ever lived. He was a homosexualist. He had no love for women, and he had no human, very little human traits in him. He was a drunkard. He did everything wicked and cruel, and finally he died in a drunken stupor at 33 years of age. Amen. Now, he was one of the beasts, and according to God, this was the best beast. He was the golden beast. This one was the silver beast, and this one was brass. You see, you notice the substance is getting harder and less valuable. Amen. So it came right down until we came to political Rome under the Caesars. And that Rome took over from this, and that was an iron kingdom, harder yet, and less human. Amen. Then we came down to ecclesiastical Rome. I miss an A there, no? ECC. Yeah, something. I knew something was wrong. All right, ecclesiastical Rome, which is the Roman Church. I want you to notice where the Roman Church and the Roman Empire joined. That was at Constantine. When Constantine was both the ruler of Rome and the Pope of Rome, he joined the Kingdom of Rome with the Church. And so, actually what happened is that the Church of Jesus Christ went under. Amen. Went under. Now, this scripture we are going to read about the deadly wound, it is the wound that God promised that he would give the devil in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3 and verse 15. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God told the woman that the seed, your seed, shall wound the serpent in his head, and the serpent shall bruise his heel. Now, that wound was given where? At Calvary. That's where the devil got his mortal wound, at Calvary. And the devil would have perished at Calvary. When the apostles begin to preach, the devil would have perished. But the church that Jesus Christ left to wound the devil and to finish him, what happened to the church? The church turned over to the devil. So we saw ecclesiastical Rome turning over to the devil and begin to heal the wound that Jesus Christ gave Satan at Calvary. Then we find that it was never properly healed. It was never properly healed. Because as soon as it was going to be healed by the church system, somebody slipped under the fence and get saved and started up a new church. Amen. So we're going to talk about the healing of the deadly wound and what really happened about that. So let's read in Revelation chapter 13. What's it? 12? Okay, 3. And I saw one of his heads as it... Well, let's just read the whole thing. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now remember, beast is referred to as a kingdom. And the sea is referred to as the people, the world, the nations and the tongues and the languages. So I saw a kingdom rise up out of the people. Now, first of all, let me explain to you why the kingdom is called a beast. The word in the Greek is terion, terrible terror, the same word we have for terror. Terion means wild beast, not a tame beast like your dog out there, but a wild beast that is let loose and on the rampage. You call a terrion. So this is what he saw. He saw a wild, fierce beast coming up out of humanity, the sea of humanity. And he said, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now this is a problem here, because the devil only has one head. In Genesis, God said that the Son of God would what? Bruise the devil's head. So that the one head that the devil had was bruised. The devil couldn't do one thing, brethren, if it weren't for some of us. Satan would be completely obliterated if humanity cast him out. That's how the healing of the wound of the devil is coming. When men turn over to the devil, then they give Satan power. But Satan has no power of his own down here, for all the power was given into the hands of humanity. And if humanity doesn't obey the devil, then the devil has no power. So here we see that he had now 7 heads and 10 horns. Amen. Where did he get it? Humanity, the nations of the world, 10 kingdoms, give their power to the beast. And over those 10 kingdoms, 7 men were ruling. And they willingly give their power and their authority to the beast, and they heal up the wound that was given him at Calvary. You see what I'm saying? Here, now, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, 10 crowns, what's that mean? What's the meaning of a crown? Crown means you're a king, you have authority, you have power. Now, remember, in Luke chapter 4, when Satan went to tempt Jesus, what was the offer he made him? He made him a real big offer. Check, Abraham. He made him a good offer. What he offered him? All the kingdoms of this world. That means he was offering him humanity. He was saying to him, you don't have to go to Calvary and die. He said, I can give you all that you're looking for right here now. He said, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. And then Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan. So we can see that Satan is going around offering people kingdoms. Now he's going to offer these 10 men the power to rule the world. And these 10 kingdoms are going to go over to Satan. Now, brethren, right at this point, let us just talk for 1 minute about our children and the schools. The schools that our children are going to, they are being taught basically to be part of Satan's kingdom. They are bringing in sex education, not the kind of sex education that mothers give their children, but the kind of sex education that you would hate for your children to have. This is the kind of sex education that we are getting at the schools. Plus, many of the schools are now giving the occult sorcery as part of their curriculum, which is again a horrible thing that you don't want your children to have. Moreover, they are retiring the older teachers. They are retiring most of the older teachers and are getting in new teachers, young people who will do the thing that they want them to do. For I know many older teachers are resisting this program. Amen. Now, this is preparing for the kingdom of the devil that will be set up in the earth, wherein they want no godly people, no people with consciences. They just want wild people. You see, the point about it is, if a man has scruples, a girl has scruples, she won't be just free in sex and other things, but she have God in her speaking, say this is fornication and this is adultery, you know what I mean? Then to them, it will disturb their program. Amen. One of the way it is disturbing their programs, it is they can't control birth. You control the birth, how many children you want in your home, and they can't control you. But if they can get to your mind, they can control you. And I saw that since the beginning of the year, they had 80,000 abortions. Under the new law, that means 80,000 children who would be here, some of them would be in God's kingdom, were wiped out by the new law. Amen. I see, instead of building the economy of the country to feed as many people as the people feel like having their children, they are trying to control the thinking of the young people, so that to them, to use their bodies to destroy the kids, no problem. They won't have any conscience over it. No, I'm not trying to disturb anybody's conscience, for what we have done is in the past. Amen. So I want you to know that what we have done is in the past. Jesus Christ washes with his blood, and Jesus Christ is making us new, and we don't care. We just won't look back. We just don't think anything of that. We're just looking forward to the joy of living in Jesus Christ. He has forgiven all our sins, and we are sure about it. Hallelujah. And if he hasn't forgiven it, just put it down right now, and he'll forgive it, and we just go right on with the meeting. Amen. Praise God. So nobody need to even think. Don't give a thought. to what we have done in the past. See, if it was for sin, we none of us would reach heaven. But it is for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we are going there. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. So, we are not really blaming the people of the world, but we are saying that the Christians are a new generation, a royal people, a holy nation, and we cannot participate in the styles of the world, in the looks of the world, in the carrying ons of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Our girls must learn from all their mothers and from their fathers that they are not of the Jezebel nation out there. That they can't go on like them. They can't dress like them. They can't look like them. They can't behave like them. Because all their behavior pattern is set upon the carnal mind. Don't you understand? Our minds are thinking differently from them. A girl doesn't fix herself in certain ways to attract men in our realm. Amen. She'll get her husband through God. That's what she wants. She doesn't want to pick up one of those out there. Amen. Because if God sent one to her, then he's going to go the whole way with God. Amen. And this is a problem we have been having. The righteous generation have gone out and married to the sinners, just like in Genesis chapter 6, and that thing has caused destruction in among the people of God, and so many divorces and so many terrible horror things happening in the world against us. I want to tell you that since we came to the United States and began to fight against the demon of divorce, a demon spirit came down Miami and told us, he said, he showed us his kingdom. He said, we can't overcome him. And his kingdom was built upon divorce. Because that's what we were praying about. Some brethren were going through a divorce and we were praying about it. And he showed us that his kingdom is too strong. So you better believe it that the divorce spirit that's going around is a demon spirit. Call it worse than a demon. Fallen angels that have taken charge of the American people and find out that that is the greatest, that's their greatest weapon against you. Amen. So when you have problems at home, don't think of divorce. Amen. We're a royal people, a holy nation. We're not going to deceive our sister. We're not going to let her down. We're not going to let down that brother, though weak he may be. Amen. We don't think of divorce as a solution to our problem. Hallelujah. Some of us have been dragged through it. Some of us have been dragged through it more than once. Amen. But let's praise God. For when God, whatever God gives you, is going to stay with you till Jesus comes. Amen. Hallelujah. And amen. All you have to do is just to wait on God. God know all your needs. Your God is so sweet. Your God feel your need inside of him. Oh, you see a little child bow down and cry, and God is there crying beside her. He feels everything you feel. He feels it. Have you ever thought that God is inside of you sharing your feelings? Amen. God's inside of you. Your God is not the way out there. Oh, God, help him. God's inside of you, sharing all your feelings. You don't even have to talk it out. You don't have to express it. Oh, God, he feels it. Amen. I remember the time, one time, we met Jesus and we found out that he was a man and that he was walking around the place. And that expression of Jesus I had never known before. But he came to me and he convinced me that he was a man. Just like he came to the brethren and said, feel my hand. I'm not spirit. I'm flesh and bone. Blessed be to God, he never did change into spirit. And I remember Mavis told me one time she was very lonely and she was just lying down there and she saw somebody coming. And the shadow of the person came. She thought it was I who was coming in. And the person put his hand in her hair. And he said, I am a man. So don't fear, don't be afraid. And bless God, she said, the peace of God just flooded over her. Jesus Christ prayed of her visit. And I want you to know that Jesus is a man. and he will bring forth righteousness in you. I've known some women met the false Jesus. Yes, sir. The angel of light, posing as an angel of light, went around, and this woman was deceived. The first thing he told her to leave her husband. See, that wasn't Jesus. That wasn't Jesus. Blessed be to God Almighty. And so, I don't know how we got here, but let's see if we can find our way back. Praise God. Amen. We find here that what verse were we at? Yes, and the beast, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. You know which one that was. Amen. That's the one God said would be crushed. Amen. And then we come on. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The church submit itself to the devil. That means the wound of the devil is healed. For this is what Jesus did, to put up a church here to keep opening that wound that he had given him at Calvary. And hallelujah, a church without power is a church that gives Satan the power. Amen. They won't recognize you. You have the gift of healing. You go into their churches, they look at you as if you have a disease. Amen. Bless God. I can't forget how this minister told the sister. Said, "Sister, you are a disease, and we have got to get rid of you out of this church." Amen. You know the sister, so I won't call her name. Amen. Told her point blank that she was a disease, and he got her out of the church because she was a disease. And she's going to catch the rest of people. Hey, man. They're going to start talking in tongues, and it's a disease. Yes. And they believe it. They believe that we have a mental disease. Those who talk in tongues are mentally disturbed people. And we are the people at peace. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28 verse 10 and 11 said, "With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people to whom," he said, "this is the rest." Amen. Amen. The people who get the rest of God are the people who get the Holy Ghost, who talk in tongues and relax. Amen. Anytime you get uptight, amen, God make you start talking in tongues, you relax. Amen. Hallelujah. You get loosened up. Now, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's the devil. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. All he had was 3.5 years. Listen, brethren, let me tell you. The Bible said here that who is like unto the beast? Who can make war with him? Now, if Russia and the United States join together, and China join with them, now tell me, who is going to make war in this earth with them? Amen. Do you know that outside of Russia, nobody can make war with the United States at this time? Yeah. Outside of Russia, the United States have enough weaponry to destroy the world 44 times over. Would you believe that? Enough weaponry to destroy the world 44 times over. And their weaponry is in position all over the earth. United States has weaponry ringing the whole earth, and every city is covered by her her destructive weapons. Either one place or another, in the bottom of the sea, all over the world. And if somebody formed the fool to give the United States a notice that they are going to fight them, even half an hour's notice, that nation could be wiped off the earth within 24 hours. Amen. They don't know the result of it. They don't know what would happen. If the earth would be poisoned and it would kill the rest of people, that's what they don't know. And that's why they're afraid. Russia is afraid. United States is afraid. Amen. And these two people come together through fear. Amen. Even half an hour's notice, that nation could be wiped off the earth within 24 hours. Amen. They don't know the result of it. They don't know what would happen. If the earth would be poisoned and it would kill the rest of people, that's what they don't know. And that's why they're afraid. Russia is afraid. United States is afraid. Amen. And these two people come together through fear. Amen. And China will soon get the message that she can't do anything but come and submit herself to this joining together. That's what your president has done for this generation and this time. And he couldn't do better, for it's written in the book. And he's in the position. So praise be to God. All the pressures that are coming down on him is to pressure him to do these things. And the pressures will be applied at the right place according to the devil's working, to get them to do the things that he wants them to do, because it's God's time. Amen. Now let's go on. Yes, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein in heaven. Brethren, what these nations are joining together for, it is to be against God. For God seemed to be their only barrier to doing anything they want to do, as they please. And so, what we are seeing in our time is a falling of the stars. You remember the scripture said that the stars are going to fall from heaven? You think he was talking the natural star? Let me tell you something about the natural stars. If one of those fall on this earth, that is it. Just one, you see. So the natural stars are not what God's talking about. The stars falling from heaven are the sons of God falling down to earth. Amen. And we're going to see a great cascade of stars falling. And we're going to see one mighty star called Wormwood. One fellow who will destroy one third of the population of them that dwell in the outer court. By the word of God, he's going to fall upon the fountains of water. You want us to read that? Turn to Revelation 8. We might as well go through the thing. 3:30 or no 3:30?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Amen. So we see during the tribulation, what's going to happen is that a great Christian who is leading a great lot of people are going to fall from his Christian stand in God. And while he's falling, he's going to look brighter than ever. Burning lamp. Amen. And he's going to fall upon the word of God. Now, brethren, watch it. Do you notice how many translations they are making of the Bible? Amen. There are wicked, not errors, but wicked deviation from the word of God in your Bible. You would be shocked to know in these new Bibles how many wicked deviations, deliberate deviations from the truth that there are. The Bible called the Good News for Modern Men, that one is dedicated to teaching no blood, no virgin birth, no divine savior. They make him a natural man. They may cut out all the passages with the blood. Some of it called influence. Amen. All right. That one is dedicated to that. And all others are dedicated to their thing. I was reading last night a word from, remember with David, when David went to fight the Philistines, and God told David that there would be a moving in the top of the mulberry trees. Amen. And when he heard the moving in the top, Bible said T-O-P, of the mulberry trees, then he should attack. You know what the Revised Version says? Men were walking up and down among the mulberry trees. And when David heard the men walking up and down among the mulberry trees, the east wind shifted and the sound came to him. The Bible never said a thing like that. That's what they are teaching your children at the Sunday schools. So some of you talking about your children must go to Sunday school. That's what they are teaching them. Just for the fun of it, brothers and sisters, in time you're going to a Bible bookstore, look at the books that your children are reading. Just read some of the stories for yourself. I went into one of the store and picked up one of the books, and that's what I read in it. That the east wind shifted, and when the wind shifted, the sound of the men that were hiding in the mulberry trees could come to David. And I went back over and read the story, and the story said God made a movement and in the top of the mulberry trees. Those men weren't walking in the top of the mulberry trees, and God knew somebody would fool around with that word. And so, I read another wicked story. Say, oh, you know, it wasn't a miracle of Jesus walking on the sea. Jesus never did walk on the water. So what really happened is that the shoreline twisted like this, you see, come out into a point in a peninsula, and the boys were this side in the ship. And they saw Jesus coming, and it looked like he was on the water, and said, poor Peter jumped out and almost drowned. That's what your children are being taught at Sunday school. So you talk about Sunday school, you better think over and check up what they're teaching them. The devil can't teach your children God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. We go back to Revelation 13. And here, he gave unto him war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. You see, Hitler wanted to do that. Hitler thought he was going to take charge of the whole world. Read your history, brethren. Supernatural forces stopped Hitler at the Channel. Did you read about it? Churchill said God fought for England. He said the stars in their courses fought for England. The same word that was used in Sisera when God defeated Sisera. Churchill said the stars in their courses fought for England. Hitler sent an invasion force to try out the shores of England, and God put the wisdom in the Englishmen to put barrels of oil in the sea and have it under the floating under the surface. And when the boats came, planes came down and bombed the sea, and the whole sea was lighted on fire and destroyed all of Hitler's first invasion forces when he was trying to go across to England. God put it in the heart of Hitler to turn and attack Russia instead of attacking England. God put it in his heart and he was deceived. And God fought against Hitler. Hitler could not rule the world. It wasn't God's time. Amen. So you must look out for what I'm saying here. Anytime the nations of the world join together, God said they will willingly give their power to the beast. It won't be a matter of the beast conquering these countries. They're all just going to join together in a united nation. Praise God. Now, we see it coming about in Europe. You know what happened in Europe? God showed me sometime long ago, and I told you it was going to happen. And Ebor came along here and preached that it would happen, and he gave the date. And bless God, God gave him the date. I didn't get the date. He said it was the 2nd of April. Europe went into a one money system. And you know why your American dollar having trouble? Because the whole Europe is joined up against you, including England. And all the billions of dollars that they have are being used to depress the American dollar and push it under. And the American dollar will go down and down and down until America bow to join up with them. That's what they want. They want the whole world, and America has too much of a big slice. So they have to fight her until she submits to them. Praise God. Now let's go on. One economist said that the money system of the world cannot last longer than November of this year. But we are expecting it, because that's what prophecy said. Amen. So let's go on. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the verse I was showing you, Sister Draw. That's the verse. That's the 8th verse of chapter 13. That all the people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast. But anybody who is saved won't worship the beast. You can't, you won't. And no matter how you try, you won't even be able to. You see, because it is something in the mind that you can't take. Amen. Your mind is already made up for Christ. You can't take the devil. Amen. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now this is the beast I want to show you. And brethren, I won't hide it from you. But you look at it yourself. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Who is supposed to do that? Do you remember Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23 and 24? That tells you that the person who is going to do all this is the Antichrist, the false Christ. The pseudo Christ. You see, the false Christ will come and said, I am Christ. Amen. Christ is over here. Come this way. This is where Christ is. This is where. Now, this is the church that has backslidden from God, that's going to do it. You see it right there. You know how you identify? Many ways. First of all, it was a lamb. A lamb is the type of Jesus Christ, the saints. We are sheep of his pasture. He said to Peter, feed my lamb. Therefore, a symbol of a lamb is a church. because it speak like a dragon. So this backslidden church, or this false prophet, is going to cause the people to worship the beast, the devil, the world system, the satanic kingdom. I want you to see that right here. So this is why I am telling you, make sure that you are walking in the right place with God. Because we see the ecclesiastical system coming from Rome as a beast. I'll tell you more about it. This beast here is not just the Roman Catholic Church anymore. For all the other churches are following the Roman Catholic Church to the letter. They worship Sunday as a holy day. We are, in spite of God telling you Sunday is not a holy day. Paul saying to the brethren in Galatia, he said, I'm afraid of you, lest my labor on you is in vain, for you are still keeping days. Amen. Amen. So Sunday is not a holy day. Saturday is not a holy day. God abolished all holy day because God put holiness in you, and you must be holy every day. Amen. So that is the fulfillment of the law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath must be fulfilled in you. Amen. You must keep the Sabbath because that's your Holy Ghost that you have inside of you. Amen. You mustn't break his rules. You must go according to his dictates in your mind, in your heart. If God knows that your heart is set to serve God, God's going to tell you what to do in your heart. If you don't feel to do a thing, don't do it, brother. Bless the Lord God, if you don't feel to do it. Wife, feel to do it. Husband, don't feel to do it. Darling, I tell you, I can't do it. Don't you want me to obey the Lord inside of me? I don't feel to do it. Don't let me do it. Amen. Praise God. Here we are. Yes, he blasphemed God. Did I miss my... Yeah. Amen. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and all them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound is healed. Brethren, let me tell you something. That the money system here, the money you have been throwing in churches, you've got to go home and beg God to forgive you of most of this money you have thrown up to this point. And may God help you not to put any more. Now what am I saying? I don't want it. What am I saying? I'm saying that right now, today, in Washington, there is a group of lawyers employed by the church to lobby to get laws passed so that the church will eventually rule the government by law. That the church is now in such a position that she has the power over the government. That financially I'm talking about. That the certain bank supported the government war effort in Vietnam, and the money that was loaned to the government was loaned by this bank, church bank. You don't know which of those banks out there belong to church. Sometimes not even the bank manager himself knows. He's just working for a corporation or so-and-so. Most of the money on Wall Street, the money in the stock market, the money in downtown that build the town, the money that you borrow, church money. These big church organizations have invested. And you don't have to give 1 cent more before they pay their ministers. They pay their ministers without you now. Because the churches are self-supporting. Their investments are bringing in millions and millions. Amen. Hallelujah. No, they are not joined to the, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the big denominations. that are joined. These big denominations are running the big money blocks in the world. And they are the bosses over it. And their intention is to govern the government. One thing I noticed when I was coming here, there was a law made that no minister could come and preach in the United States from a foreign country unless he received certification from the World Council of Churches. I got a lawyer because I didn't intend to get any certification. I got a lawyer who was an immigration lawyer to look over it. He looked over it. He went into it. He tried to twist their arms. He went up to the highest. He was told, don't try. Said, this is one rule that you will never get over. This is mandatory. You must do it. I had to go to the World Council of Churches and ask them for a letter. God made them give me a letter before I could get my immigration paper set straight to come to the United States to preach. Amen. The church rules are coming into effect, church laws. They've got a law against home meetings. They've got a law against home meetings. They can arrest every one of us for meeting in a religious meeting here. Unless you live in a zoning area that is zoned for business or church. See? You can be arrested. We have scraped against it twice. In one case, they arrested somebody else. We weren't there. They arrested the other minister. In another, at least the minister who owned the place, they arrested him. In another case, they warned us for arrest, so we get out. Amen. So you understand what I'm saying, that the thing has gone to a point beyond where there is any turning back. You only have to go ahead and do what God wants you to do and save the people who God wants you to save out of it. Let's go ahead again. Verse what now? He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth. A person working miracles must be a Pentecostal person. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. They're making the image of the devil, satanic imagery. Hallelujah. I'll tell you a little about that. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Brethren, many of you have pictures of Jesus hanging up in your house. Did it ever occur to you, how could there be so many different Jesuses? The picture of Jesus you have hanging up with blue eyes, brown hair, flowing brown hair, that is the picture that came from the Roman Catholic Church, which picture they took from the Greeks. That's the Greek god, Ninus. Now that sounds funny. It's true. The picture of Mary that some of you have, the Madonna, is Venus. Check it out. Get a book with Venus and take the little headpiece and dress up that Venus same way like how they dress up Mary, and look if it's not the same person. The picture of Venus, the goddess Venus, they took from the Greek architecture and put it up in the Roman church. St. Peter, is one of the Greek gods that they captured from Greece when the Roman army went over into Greece. And if you're going to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, you see the picture of St. Peter with the toe there. The people kiss the toe until they almost kiss it off. It's worn down to a fine point. Amen. They kiss the toe, and it's not St. Peter at all. Amen. Praise be to God. Shortly, I tell you, I don't even want to say St. anything. I don't say St. Jesus, and I don't want to say St. Peter, or St. Matthew, or St. John, or St. Paul, or St. nothing. If I start saying St. Paul, St. John, St. Matthew, I might as well say St. there. Amen. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it sound good, St. Martin? Amen. Praise God. All righty. Well, doctor, the guy worked at a university for his degree. He's all right. Call him doctor, yes, if he is. Especially if he can patch your toe up. Oh, he says we are saints, you know. But he doesn't go about calling you Saint this and Saint that. He called them by their names, Timothy. He said, my son, Timothy. And he never said Saint anything. The same thing is Catholic. They put it before your name there and called Saint. It's wrong. It's out of order. If we say Saint anything, let us start saying Saint Jesus. Yes. Nobody ever made a picture of him, ma'am. The only people who thought anything of Jesus when he was alive were the people who were following him. They were poor people and they were simple people and their minds were on him. They didn't think of a picture. They start making pictures 400 years after Jesus died, when the Catholic Church began to put in statues in the church and split the church right in two. Because some brethren wouldn't be heard of it. Yeah.
When we think of Jesus, we think of him as spirit, not as a picture.
Quite. And you see, the kids, when you give these kids a picture to look at, they can't think of Jesus except the picture. And you disfigure their imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, is it best then not to have the picture of Jesus in the...
It's not only best, but it's godly.
I mean, it's all right to have this picture up the way they picture Jesus?
No, that's a sin.
That's
the Bible said, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image or the likeness of anything in the heavens or on the earth. You mustn't worship, make an image of your God. You see, when Moses went up into the mountain and he came back and the people were worshiping the calf, it would appear to us modern people, oh, those people are so stupid. How could they ever worship that calf? It wasn't stupid for them. What they were told is that you're not worshiping this calf. We are worshiping God, you see. But it's the picture of God we're making.
It's not that I worship the picture, but it's just...
Okay. Well, it's exactly what every heathen worshiper says. He said, I'm not worshiping the picture. I'm worshiping the person. Uh-huh. And he said, this represents God. So I worship in God, I'm not worshiping the picture. But God said, he knows better. He said, thou shalt not make any graven image of God, nor the likeness, nor the picture of your God. Don't make a picture of your God. And so those who have pictures of Jesus Christ are really breaking the commandment. And if you break the commandment, that is, law is not fulfilled in you. The Bible says that his nature is imprinted upon your heart. And when God is imprinted his nature on your heart, you don't want any other picture. He said, he didn't look good. That glorious picture of that mighty looking man sitting up on your wall, that's not Jesus. The picture of Jesus is in Isaiah 53 and nobody wants to draw it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, he said,
please?
When you saw Jesus, was he red, yellow, black, or white?
It's a wrong question. He was a Jew, and he still is. Amen. He is just same as a Jew. The Bible said of Jesus that he had no form or comeliness, that looking upon him you should desire him. Meaning he wasn't good looking like you folks. That's what it was saying. It said he was despised and rejected of men. Amen. You remember what happened to the prophet? Was it Nathan who went to find the king out of one of Jesse's sons? And Samuel. And Samuel is a godly man. And yet Samuel went to every son to make him king, except the right one. He looked so wretched. He didn't think that could be the king. Hallelujah. Amen. And I think Jesus looked just like David. You see a group of men coming down the street and you say, now, which one is the great so-and-so? And you pick out everyone and leave the rest. He didn't look like what he was. And I think that was Jesus.
That's the opposite of the Bible.
See?
They make him look beautiful.
There's only one thing about Jesus that was so compelling, so controlling, so terribly powerful, and it was his eyes. And when you see him, you forget what his face looked like. You see his eyes, and the eyes just melt your whole soul. You feel like bowing down. So you don't have any time to check on the topography. Amen. Praise God. So, here we go again. We are far away from the end. Yes, he calls it all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. That's what the beast, that's what this ecclesiastical beast calls the people to do to the other beast. Amen. Now, we therefore need to go into something else. Let us look into this wound, the deadly wound, and where the deadly wound begin to open in our time. If you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter, my goodness. Amen. John chapter 7. And verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We cannot preach this message, because this is really another message. But I'm just showing you. But in Ezekiel chapter 47, God said that a man with a line in his hand measured 1,000 cubits. And the 1,000 cubits, when the man went out, when Ezekiel went after him, waters begin to flow out of the temple of God. And it flowed to his ankle. You see, he was ankle deep. See, that's the first measurement. The second measurement, he was knee deep. The third measurement, he was waist deep. Where was he?
Loin
deep. The fourth measurement, he fell in. He was drowned over his head. Now, this measurement here was Martin Luther. When the flow began again, the next measurement was John Wesley. Why did I say Martin Luther? Because it was only until Luther's time, that justification by faith began to preach again in our time, and people just start getting saved again. Amen. So the water began to flow again. And then John Wesley came and preached sanctification. And the waters kept on flowing. The Baptists came behind him, preached baptism, and the waters grew. And the Pentecostals came. This is Pentecost. And when the Pentecostals came, the waters overflowed and began to flow to the loins. Man was still doing his own thing. Man's head was still above the water. Man was still controlling the church. Man was still having this thing going and everything. But this is what is happening. Man is decreasing. Right here. This is the flow of the dispensation of the fullness of times. And it's overflowing every man. Somebody asked, what's going to happen to all these big preachers? They are going to join the ranks or bow out. Amen. So we see the deadly wound of the devil is healed by the church system going off with the devil. But in the place, we will be opening up the wound and the death blow will be struck in the tribulation. 4,000 bringing us to the tribulation. The death blow will be struck by the flowing of those waters, and it will overflow all the fields and all the barriers, and it will break down all the fences and get into all the seas, and it will heal the whole sea. That's what Ezekiel 47 says. Now God bless you. We can have a few minutes of discussion on this point. Praise God. Amen.
Fine. The wonder that what you see, man, that's going to be a certain man, or a man that will do that, will have miracles in the
day. It said that this beast that had the two horns, and I think it's the church that is going to bring off these great miracles. Wormwood and the rest of them joining together with the backslidden church is really going to catch the people. Because the people who don't want God, who don't want to follow God, they are going to say, well, there it is, the church is doing miracles. Like I see some men doing now. I always knew from a child right up that miracles could be done by sinners and by devil worshippers at that. We went into a devil worship camp one night, and as we went in, they grab a hold of my mother and they turn her around a few times, and the woman begin to prophesy. And they said, your husband is in great danger at this time. And they told us that he was in grave danger, our father was in great danger. And they begin to pray and shout over it. And man, sure enough, when we went home, telegram came, the train had turned over, he had got into a train wreck, the engine was buried up in the bank, and cars all twisted up. He wasn't hurt, he was unhurt. But this is what we see at a devil worship camp. We have seen people do all kind of miracles. Amen. In China, devil worshippers cut their tongue off. And they take the blood and they sprinkle it and they offer sacrifice with their own blood. And they cut themselves. And when they are through with their offering, they stick back on their tongue. And no cut is on their body. You don't see those things. But they do them. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I got a comment on the bookstore. I picked up a book about Jesus, the life of Jesus in the bookstore. And the first page had on where he went up and the devil met him, and it said the devil was self-doubt, which is entirely wrong.
Quite. See, all manner of things have been written. I went and took up a new Bible there. I saw it in one of his brethren's home. I had never seen it before, a new Bible, and the first utterance on the first page was a lie. Yes. They said that the Bible said something about sin, but something like that, and they gave a scripture, and when you read the scripture, it was entirely different from what they said. Everybody is interpreting the Bible nowadays for their church.
You're a magician teaching the children.
Not my children, brother. I'd be as mad as a bull. Going to that place and take them out. No government could force me to send my children to magicians to teach them. I send my children to school to be taught to read and to write and those things.
I mean, Sunday school, like, you know, church.
Yeah, yeah. Good Christian Bible school.
You mean? Well, I bless God for that, because some of you are so blind that you never see that thing is not a church unless they do those things. They're doing worse, but you're not reading about it. Brethren, for God's sake, read. Read, get literature outside of your little area here, and read, and find out things for yourselves. I don't want to tell you, because it sounds too weird.
Were you acquainted with the Devil Church up in California? I mean, did you...
I never went there, but I know they are there, and I met some of the people who well belonged to the Devil Church. A few of them got saved. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir.
What is the significance of 5?
5 is the number of grace. It is the number of the ministry.
Why did David take 5 smooth stones and yet use one of Goliath?
Because when the sons of God rise up in that ministry which God has given to us, David is a type of Jesus Christ, right? And when David took up 5 stones, one would be sufficient for the job. Anyone.
No. 4 other giants too that were killed, I think.
There were slain. 4 other giants were slain. Yes, 4 other brothers of Goliath. But you see, anyone, you have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and any one of those is good enough for the whole host of the devil. Yes, sir. Any stone he picked up, it would do the job. Amen. So God directed, and it would go right into that place.
The church today is rejecting all the apostolic ministry to the prophets and apostles.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to them about that. They just look at them.
Amen. Well, you see, in effect, what they are doing is rejecting the Bible. You see, as Samuel went to God and said, God, he said, the people are against me. God said, no. He says, not you, they're against, it's me. They have rejected me. It's not these words that they are rejecting. They are rejecting the Bible. You know why I know? It's that they are teaching in the Bible schools. The first thing as you go into the Bible school, the first thing they teach you that there are 3,000 errors in your Bible. Now, if you go to any Bible school, all these evangelical Bible schools that are turning out ministers that are preaching salvation, they are teaching that there are 3,000 errors in your Bible. Now, brother, if you don't see the dimensions of God's word, then there are errors. Amen. As we read one scripture, we'll just a few verses down, we'll say so and so, and another scripture contradicted right up the line. But bless God, that's where the trap lies for the carnal man. For one is speaking of an entirely different thing from the other. Amen. And they don't consider it. Amen. Christ. One day you come and you said to the child, don't go into that pool, don't go into that water. And the next day you say, come on, put on your bath suit and go in the water. Chance, but you contradict yourself.
We should stay in the church to enlighten the people.
No, unless God send you there, you have no right there.
We should try to enlighten our brothers and sisters, but
Oh, you should enlighten them, sure. But you know, if you got to stay in there to enlighten them, that's another story. If God, listen, some people may be preachers, or teachers, are of certain strength that God put them, plant them in the enemy camp to give light there. Okay. But you tell me you stay in there with your kids and they start turning you off? They look at you as a disease? They treat you like you are something else? And if you go to a prayer meeting, they are against it and they disturb your spirit and you can't grow and you're getting nothing there, and you tell me you still go there. You better follow what Jesus tells you.
You know, I prayed about that very thing. And in Luke 9:60, and she talks about the Christian spiritual interest is what the Lord gave me. And I know it says, let the dead bury the dead.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
And it says, go to and preach the kingdom of God.
Quite. Let the dead bury their dead. You know when Jesus said that? There was one of his brethren that came to him and said, Jesus, I will follow you, but I want to go home and to bury my dead. Amen. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but follow thou me. Amen. So, as far as people being saved is concerned, no physical effort of yours is going to save anybody. But Jesus Christ, when he's ready for them, he'll bring them at your doorstep, they'll drop there. What we don't realize that our greatest duty in this hour is to get this man moving in the will of God and in the nature of God.